So, and the notes are finally up there. Hopefully the FD wasn't too tough.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, good. I got back and I was, I thought I'd get back and have time for homework.
Did they tell you right away with you passed or no? They don't. Oh, that's too bad. Seems like when they have a computer graded thing, it should be just boom, they just tell you, you passed. Why don't they? Yeah. What's that?
Except for the written section.
On the GRE, as soon as you hit done,
you're done. Yeah. But not the. Is there some written section or something? Or
no, I think what they do is they go through and find questions that a lot of people miss and they throw them out. And so, if they kind of do them in batches,
I see.
Adjust the test as needed.
So if you get with a bunch of really people who don't want to take the test.
Yes.
Your chance of doing better.
Although I think so many people are taking the test, that's statistically.
Yeah.
Just got to pick the right place.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they might throw out some of the questions that way or something.
Well, it's an action.
Okay, well, let's see. Plug this guy in. On homeworks, is, I don't know, is there somebody in here who wants to grade homeworks for me? If somebody wants to grade homeworks, be glad, for this class, yeah. You want to do that? You want to do that, Austin? Okay. He hasn't had a class, though, right?
Yeah, he hasn't had this class.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't technically had it when we turned the homework, but
yeah, right. I mean, it's the best I can do, right? If I'm going to get a grade or either that. Of course, if you have questions, just come and see me, right?
Yeah.
So let me give you these homeworks, assuming you've done yours. Yeah, you've done yours, right? And I've got a couple more upstairs. I'll show you where I stick them up there. You can just pick them up or just pick them up in class. So, kind of get Austin a hard time. But no, I don't know. Actually, this guy Greg Starr, who we're using his book, he actually has students grade each one grades their own homework, and maybe that's a good thing too. But we'll try it this way, see how it works. If you get snowed under, say, well, hey, maybe I want some help. Yeah, right. Yeah, we can do that. So anyway. All right, well, I guess we should, I don't have any real homework assignment for you today. I gave you two problems last day, so that probably gives you enough to start with here. Last homework was a little more work than the one before it, and a lot more than the one before that, probably. Well, I don't know, maybe this thing where you actually have to come up with an idea is, it takes some thinking, right? So anyway, we're looking still at Z transforms. I want to finish the example we did before. It felt like we were going too fast right there at the end, right? At least to me. And if it feels that way to me, it's probably just as bad for you or worse, right? So I just want to fill in the details and make sure everything works and finish solving our little problem there. And then compare it. We still haven't done an inverse Z transform or anything. It would be like the inverse Laplace transform, right? And we want to kind of get an idea how that would go. And we still don't even have a table of Z transforms. Actually, there's one in our book, so we could use that. And how do we go backwards? We need to think about those kind of issues so we can we can feel a little bit more comfortable with this Z business. That's the object for today. So let's look at finish the example. And why? It's always like front thing here that never has the lights on. I don't know why. If somebody else doesn't like the lights on the board. Ralph was in here. Yeah, maybe they don't like it because they use the, I don't know. But yeah, Ralph was in here. He said he left the projector on for me. That was a good thing. Okay, so we want to finish the example. And then we want to do a little bit more looking at some things that might be handy, like maybe try and figure out, once we've done the example, we'll maybe get a little feel for this. We're kind of probably going to need a Z-transform table, maybe some properties, and a little bit of stuff that will help us become more comfortable with that. So it seemed like last time we were doing this thing, that was actually maybe back here. Oh, man. Maybe it was here. Maybe I didn't take a picture of it. But let's just kind of do this thing again. I want to know what is the Z transform of X to the K. What was it? X to the K plus 1? Goes to infinity. I almost wrote n minus 1 from the signals. K equals 0 to infinity, and then we had x, the thing we're taking the z transform, x of k plus 1, and z to the, what is it, minus k? Is that the z transform did we have there? Let's just go back and look and make sure that's what we had. The right thing. So the Z transform was X of n, Z to the minus n, n goes from 0 to infinity. So yeah, so that's the Z transform. And we needed this because we were doing this thing here. So last time what we did was we let K plus 1 equal n. So that says K equals n minus 1. And so this dude right here comes back around like this and becomes equal to the summation here. Oh man, what a horrible looking summation. Okay, so that's going to be n equals. Now, when k equals 0, if k equals 0, n equals 1, right? And then when k equals infinity, n equals infinity. So then I've got x of n, and then I've got z to the minus, okay, k. What was k? K was n minus 1, right? Okay. And I really want to get this in terms of the z transform, that goes from 0 to infinity, right? So I could write this as the sum, the one from 0 to infinity, and then I'd have to subtract off the first term. So this would be equal to the sum n equals 0 to infinity of x of n z to the, let's see, that's minus n plus 1. And then I've got to add on the term, I added this extra term, the 0 term here, which would have been x of 0 z to the minus, z to the 1, right? So I need to subtract on f x of 0, z to the 1. Is that right? So we could write that as equal to... Did I do that right?
No, yeah, I think you did. Yeah, right. Never mind. Yeah, that's right.
So that would be z times, And then I've got this nice summation, n equals 0 to infinity of x of n, z to the minus n, which is just, this is just capital X of z, right? And then I have minus x of 0, is that right? Sorry, Brian, you're back there in the back. Have to sit in the front here next time. It might be just as bad in the front, I don't know.
Did I end up with
a
z?
I just pulled out the z.
Don't you have to pull it out of
it? I pulled it out right here, so I've got z to the minus n left, right?
Yeah, but you have minus 1 up there.
Oh, yeah, this would have been an N. I wrote the wrong thing there. Wait, thank you. That looks horrible. Let me try to fix that. And it's N. Yeah, how's that? Is that okay now? Okay, so we've got this is the Z transform of X of K plus 1. Right? The z transform of x of k plus 1 is z times, I'm going to write this again, z times x of k, I mean x of z, x of z minus x of 0. So this is kind of like the derivative property for Laplace transforms, right? Okay. So now let's go back and make sure we had the right thing. Down here, here's what we wrote. We guessed it last time, right? We said we're going to have z squared x of z. And then we had minus z squared x of 0. I think we actually worked that out last time, right? So this term and that term right there are the first one. Then we're going to have minus 2z x of z and minus 2z x of 0. That's that one. Oh, and this guy, minus z x of 0, came from that thing right there. So there was actually, I don't know what happened to that. I thought we did that somewhere, but I must not have taken a picture of our work. Right? Remember doing that? I don't remember. I don't see the picture there. Maybe I got the picture, but I didn't process it. I'll have to check. So anyway, I think that looks good. So now we can continue on from there. So we got z squared.
Well, I got a quick question. Yeah. Since these weren't up last night, I was looking at the book, and mm-hmm. the book ignored that whole the subtraction.
Yeah, I looked at that as well. That's an interesting thing, and this goes back to what we were doing with Laplace transforms too. Okay, when we use Laplace transforms and we were talking about transfer functions, then we would often ignore the initial conditions, right? And you see, if we ignored the initial conditions, in this case, all we have is a natural response here because we didn't have a forcing function. We turned that off when we did this problem, right? And if you turn off the forcing function and you turn off the initial conditions, then remember, we had this thing where we would have got zero here, right? And we would have got, and so we would have ended up with zero. Well, I mean, that is the answer if the initial conditions are zero, right? And the forcing function is zero, then, you know, when you put it in a harmonic oscillator, the output is zero, right? No initial condition, no forcing function, it just sits there zero. And I think what they're doing in the book is, he is concentrating on transfer functions, okay? It would be nice if he was a little bit more clear about that, but I noticed the same thing. He didn't put these little guys in there, right? In other words, he just assumed those initial conditions kind of were zero, right? I mean, he just said, like, what? I remember I started out to do the same thing, right? I said, well, let's see, we want, you know, we're going to have, this is a, you know, put z squared on there, that's like z of k plus 2, you know, every time I put it, multiply by z, that's like an advance, you know, a plus, you know, plus 1, right? And it is, but But there's also these initial conditions that you got to worry about if you want the transient response.
Well, he says that, he does say that he's saying that just setting the initial condition to zero, mm-hmm. but he says that in a way that he says, since with the single-sided transforms, all variables are zero for negative samples. So what's the single?
Well, there's negative, yeah, we did set all the variables were zero. In other words, we started at zero here, right? And that's saying, I'm assuming kind of like all the variables were zero before time t equals zero, or I'm not taking into account. It's the same thing in the Laplace transform when you integrate from zero to infinity. Yeah, instead of negative infinity to infinity, if you go zero to infinity, it's kind of like you're not going to get any information about what happened between minus infinity and zero because you just threw it out, right? I mean, and the only thing you get from really what happened was the way you incorporate what happened from minus infinity to zero is that initial condition. In other words, you know what it is now. I don't know how it got there, but here's where it is, right? That's the initial condition on the derivatives and so on, you know. So this is really a good thing to be thinking about. Those are really good questions. And I think, first of all, he's saying, look, we're going to ignore all the stuff before time t equals zero. And then he also throws out this as, you know, assumes these initial conditions. The first couple of ones are zero, right? Or first, depending on how many k, what is k plus the biggest number is here. You know, he's assuming all those are zero. And that's what you do if you just want the transfer function. In other words, the forced response, the part that would be due to the u over here, which I said was zero. Okay? So he and I said the opposite things were zero, right? For me, I started out, I just want to find the natural response. And for him, he didn't want the natural response. He wants the thing that's going to last a long time. And it's kind of like, really, you need to know about both of them, of course. But which one do you pick on first? Well, I picked on this one, he picked on that one. So I think we're okay. And we will go back and do that forced response. Okay. We're going to do the same thing he did again, but you know it's kind of like the output is due to several things. It's due to the input, due to the initial conditions, right? So what I did was I'm going to turn off the input first, and we'll just look at the part due to the initial conditions. What he did first was throw out the initial conditions, and let's put the input in and see what comes out. Right, and I think that's probably the right thing to do for the homework. You know, I mean, because you were doing an integration, right? And I suppose you could put the initial condition in the integral, you know, because, you know, you got the integral from A to B, right? But then it's whatever it was to get to A, too, if you want to put that in there, right? But usually we just think about, you know, from A to B. We don't care how it got to A, right? So the initial conditions is kind of like taking into account everything that happened from minus infinity up to zero or now. Okay, so let's go and plug this thing in here. I'm gonna factor out the x of z because I'm trying to solve for x of z here, right? Does that make sense? Because I'm trying to find x of z and then we'll inverse transform that mess, right? So I'm gonna factor out, I'm gonna have z squared right there minus 2z. And then I've got plus this thing here, 1 plus omega 0 squared t squared. And this whole thing is multiplied by x of z. And then that equals, and I'm going to have z squared x sub 0 plus z x of 1 plus 2z x of 0. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So then I can divide this thing on both sides, right? So now I've got x of z equals z squared, z squared x of 0, and then I've got a plus z times x of 1 plus 2 x of 0. Is that right?
Yeah.
got on the bottom. C squared minus 2z plus 1 plus omega 0 squared t squared. Okay. So if this was a Laplace transform, what would we do next?
Partial fraction.
Right. And the reason we do a partial fraction expansion is because we know how to inverse transform 1 over s plus a, right?
Yeah.
Well, right now we don't know how to, you know, how to inverse transform anything, right? I mean, at least inverse Z transform anything, right? So maybe the first thing we got to try and do is try and make up a little bit of a table, and it would be really kind of nice to, you know, to get a few little things that we could go backwards from, right?
Yeah.
So let's do an aside here. We need a little table. And the way we did this in Laplace transforms, we just took the forward Laplace transform of several different functions, you know, things we thought might come along and that might be important, right? So, aside, we need some Z transforms. Okay, so what we'll do is I'm going to take the Z transform of delta of K. What is delta of K? Maybe I should say what is delta of k before I do the z transform here. Delta of k is equal to 1 if k equals 0, 0 else. Because this is like a discrete delta function, okay? That makes sense? It's just 1 and then everything else 0. So this should be pretty easy to z transform, right? I'm just trying to do the easiest one I can think of, and then we'll do the next easiest. Move along here. So, z transform of delta of k equals, well, it's going to be the summation, k equals 0 to infinity of delta of k times z to the minus k, right? Which is just one term, right? So that would be the k equals 0 term, so that's going to be 1. So 1 for the delta of k, z to the minus 0, right, which equals 1, right? Well, that's kind of nice because remember the Laplace transform of the delta of t was 1, right? So this is kind of nice, actually. This delta of k is kind of like the impulse for discrete kind of stuff. That's kind of cool. So we got that first one. Now, the next one might be, what about a unit step? We did a unit step when we were in doing Laplace transforms, right? Might as well try and do a unit step here. This might be a little bit tougher, but we'll try, right? See what we can do. So, z transform of u of k, okay? Where, maybe I better define u of k here. U of k, or u sub k, I don't know what he calls it. I think he calls it 1 of k. You want me to use his notation? I don't know.
That's 1 of k.
1 of k instead of u. We used back in the LNA and everything, we use unit steps, u of something, right? He uses 1 of k.
I prefer u.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm going to call it, yeah, but I'll also put 1 of k like this. So in this is the book's notation, okay? So you can read your book and still understand it, all right? And some people do this, you know, 1 of k. Okay, so this is defined as 1 if k is greater than or equal to 0, 0 else, okay? That's like, you know, it just turns on at time t equals 0, just like the unit step function, sampled unit step function, basically, right? Okay, so let's do the z transform of that. Z transform of u of k equals the summation, right? K equals 0 to infinity of 1 times z to the minus k, right? Yeah, okay. So we've got Austin here is going to help us out because he hasn't forgot his calculus yet. And so this is really 1 plus z to the minus 1 plus z to the minus 2 plus da-da-da, you know, like that, right? And so we could write that as, so we could write this, I'm going to make this here, I'm going to call this s so I don't have to write so much. So s, so if I take s minus 1 divided by z to the minus 1, I will get s back again, right? You see that? If I take this 1 over here, 1 over by s, and divide by z to the minus 1, that z to the minus 1 becomes a 1, that becomes z to the minus 1, and so on, it just gets the same thing back, right? So we're using recursion here, so now I just use algebra to solve for s. And so if you do this, this implies we got s times 1 over z to the minus 1, and then that's that one right there, and then I'm going to have a minus 1, and that is for that guy, and that'll be 1 over z to the minus 1. And so that implies that s equals, well, I don't know, this is kind of messy, but going to be 1 over z to the minus 1, which is really z, right? Divide by 1 over z to the minus 1 minus 1, right? Which is equal to z over 1 minus z. Is that right? Okay, I messed up.
No, you didn't. Just right there, you actually switched the two. You multiply everything through, but it's just 1 over z minus 1 minus z.
Z over z minus 1. Okay, good. Okay, so we got two of these dudes now, right? So those are two handy ones, probably. Now, what was probably the most handy one for Laplace transforms? Because it will probably be the most handy one for us. What was the most handy Laplace transformer and most useful inverse Laplace transform? Well, those were kind of made up of exponentials. I think the exponential is even simpler, like e to the at or e to the minus at or something, right? Because e to the j omega t plus e to the minus j omega t over 2, that's a cosine, right? And then I can use those exponentials to get the cosines, right?
Yeah.
So let's do the e to the at thing, if we can figure out what that is. So c transform of e to the A T U oh no e to the what should we a I guess e to the A K or something or A K T or what do you want to do U of K something like this what do they have in the book do they have this thing e to the negative A K T like this with a T here like that.
Yeah.
Is that what they got?
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it just seems like, oh yeah, so yeah, okay, so they're doing KT in places. So this thing was also equal to U of KT, right? I mean, this is a Z transform of U of KT. It's the same, right? And this one also would be the Z transform of delta of KT, I suppose, if you wanted to. So we got this thing. This is kind of, an exponential, right? So we got to do that. So we got a summation, right? K equals 0 to infinity of e to the AKT, I guess, times 1, right? I don't need to put that in, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, you know, this is kind of like the summation k equals 0. So we got it again, e to the a t to the, oh, I forgot the z to the minus 1, z to the minus k, right? E to the minus is that right? E to the a,
in the book they have minus a.
Okay, let's make it minus, that'll make everything look nice, so then I can make this minus, or just make it AT times Z, and then to the minus K or something, or maybe I should make this minus and minus 1 and put it just a K like that. How's that? Is that right? Okay, so then this thing right here becomes just like our ratio again, right? And so really what we discovered over here, you know, our ratio, 1 plus r squared plus r cubed plus dot, dot, dot equals 1 over 1 minus r. I don't need to derive that every time, right?
Yeah. Right.
As long as assuming the magnitude of r is less than 1, otherwise it's infinity, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Okay, so then I got z transform of this guy right here, e to the minus akt u of k is equal to 1 over 1 minus e to the minus at z to the minus 1, right? Okay, suppose... what do they do? Multiply top and bottom by z or something? So they get z over z minus e to the minus at. Is that right? Is that what they do in their little table?
Yeah.
You got that right? Okay. So now I think we actually have enough. We can go back to here and take Eric's suggestion and do a partial fraction expansion, right? And what a yucky deal that is until we figure out what omega 0 and t are. I suppose we could do that.
You got a square term in there, so
I can do a quadratic equation to factor this dude, right?
Right, yeah.
You know? I mean I think we all know how to do that.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering whether we want to spend our class time doing a whole bunch of algebra here. The other thing we could do is we're expecting to get this thing right here. I'm expecting that something like the z squared x of 0, suppose we had that over this. I'm betting that's like a cosine or something, and maybe this over that is a sine. But I also suspect if I was to look at the, if I was to take the z transform of sine, the best way to do it would be to use this thing, right? Right? Rather than actually put sine in there, I mean, I'd end up probably breaking the sine in exponentials anyway, because I don't really know how to sum sines very well, right? The z to the whatever, right? So let's just look at so z transform of n. And there's also another thing that should be bothering us a little bit here, because you see, this was assuming this ratio was less than 1, right?
Yeah.
We already know that the poles of this dude right here are outside that unit circle, so this thing is not quite stable, right? Does that make sense? So I suppose we could do some formal kind of a thing, you know, assuming this really did converge and whatnot. Or we could put a convergence factor in there or something, right? But I'm a little worried here when I put in A equals J omega, right?
Yeah.
Because it's right smack on the unit circle. It doesn't fit this assumption here, really, right?
Yeah.
Now, I actually think people do that. It's probably in there. Is the sign one in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, so they must do that, right? So anyway, I mean, we could say with a grain of salt. Here's my grain of salt. With a grain of salt here. We've got z of, so I'm going to do cosine of omega 0 t, omega 0 kt, kt would be equal to the z transform of, or 1 half, e to the j omega 0 kt plus 1 half e to the minus j omega 0 kt, right, which would be equal to the z transform of this plus the z transform of that, which is, according to our thing up here, it's going to be z over, well, this is going to be a half, there's a half right here, z over z minus e to the minus j omega 0 cap t. Is that right? For the first term? No. Plus. Because this is the minus up here, right? If I change the sign on A, so that would kind of fit this one perfectly. But this one needs a minus. So then I think we'd have something like a half z over z minus e to the minus j omega 0 cap t, which we could then add together and see whether we get what they got, right? So to get a common denominator here, it's going to be this guy times that guy, right? Which is going to be z squared Okay, I've got z squared, and then I've got this guy and that guy added together, which is a cosine, omega 0, 2 cosine. So it's going to be, and it's actually going to be that and that multiplied, so it's going to be plus z times 2 cosine of omega 0 kt, omega 0 t, I mean. Omega 0 t. And is it a plus or a minus? I think it's a minus. Because that's minus and that's minus. Because when I add e to the j omega 0 t plus e to the minus j omega 0 t, I get 2 cosine, right, using Euler's identity. Divide by 2. And now I've got then this guy times that guy. The minus times the minus makes a plus. And that guy's the complex conjugate of that, so that would just be plus 1. And that's the denominator, right? Now I have to take a half z times that guy, so I'm going to have a half z times this guy, z minus e to the minus j omega 0 t. And then I'm going to have plus a half z times this other dude, z minus e to the plus j omega 0 t. And I have to add those up. In algebra. Is that right? Did I make a mistake there? Okay, well, we'll soon find out here. Okay, so if I look at this thing, I'm going to have a half z squared here, right? And a half z squared there, so that's just the z squared, right? And on the bottom, I've got the same z squared. I'll copy this, minus, 2... z cosine omega 0 t plus 1. And then, okay, so what'd you say? I've got a half?
And then a half z cosine, or a half 2 z cosine omega t.
Yeah, half z, and then that plus that gives me a cosine, right? Mm-hmm. So that's going to be plus, that's a minus, right? Minus. Z cosine of omega 0 t, is that right?
Then the k
and then it's plus a z, I think.
Plus a z. No, this just this term. This is two terms here, and that's two terms. So I add the two terms together. Should just
but then the e to the negative j omega t and the j omega t. That's going to be one, and then you're multiplying those both by half the z.
Right? Well, this guy is this term right here is added to this term, right?
Oh, added, right? Sorry.
So it's just I got a half z squared and a half z squared gives me that, and then I've got this half z, I got z in front, I put that there, and then a half e to the minus j omega t, and a half. Yeah. So, is that what they have? It's more simplified, huh? Is it the same?
They took out the z, but I think that's the only difference. Factored out.
Divided a z out. Okay, so we could divide a z out. Well, except for then you'd have 1 over z
at the
here.
Top, you'd factored out the z.
Oh.
They just split it up. That's the only difference.
They just factored out a z on the top.
Yeah.
So it's the same then, right? Okay, so this is with a grain of salt, though, right? Don't forget the grain of salt here. Grain of salt. Because actually those things wouldn't converge, right? I mean, they'd be right. I mean, it's a back and forth, back and forth. It's right on the border of convergence. And if you look at that thing right there, and we look at our thing right here, we do have a z squared minus 2z right here, right? To give you another homework problem and figure out what the difference is. What is the difference here? So maybe we should go back and look at our continuous time system and think of when we'd get a cosine, right? When would we get a cosine from our original differential equation? Our original differential equation was x double dot plus omega 0 squared x equals 0, right? Did we have minus? I thought we had plus. I think that plus is, I mean, we did solve the thing. Let's go back and look. So back here somewhere. Is this it here? We guessed the solution right here. To the next page here. Okay, so we ended up with this thing right here, right? And what initial condition would have given us a cosine? We'd really want A1 and A2 to be, you know, this be a half and that be a half, right? And so basically we would have said the initial condition x was 1 and the derivative of x was 0, right? That's what we would have done to say that. And then we'd have to take our differences and figure out what that meant for x of 1 and x of 0, right? It's becoming a kind of a yucky deal, isn't it? But it does look kind of the same, and I am a little bit, this grain of salt has got me a little bit worried on our thing over here, because this guy definitely had poles outside the unit circle here, right? I mean, that would mean things are getting bigger. And these difference equations, you still should be able to solve them, just like the differential equations, you should be able to solve them even when they go bananas, right? Get bigger and bigger, right?
Yeah.
It's just that's a problem for us in a control system, because in a control system, we don't want things going bananas, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like the solution isn't there. The Z transform, on the other hand, you know, when we use this geometric series here, we're kind of formally using this geometric series even when it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, I suppose that's probably okay. The interesting thing is on the Z transform is we could take like you could take this guy right here. It would be pretty easy to do it right here. And you do a long division. You do Z minus E to the minus AT, and you do a division into that Z. Or maybe even easier to go back here. Let's just look at this one. Let's do another example here, and you can see how you can get those answers, the X of 0, X of 1, X of 2, X of 3, the sequence, right? Here's how you can get those right here. So if we took, say, you remember the Z transform of U of K equaled Z over Z minus 1. So let's just take Z minus 1, and I'm going to divide that into Z, right? Long division. You guys remember how to do long division? This is kind of a yucky thing. I always hated this.
Really fuzzy, but yeah.
Yeah, so Z goes into Z approximately one time, right?
Yeah.
So 1 times Z minus 1, so I got Z minus 1, and I have to subtract that, right? So
yeah.
I get 0, and then I've got a minus 1, so this will be a plus 1 right here, because I got to subtract this thing right here, right? You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I have to do Z minus 1 goes into that, and that'll be plus, well, that would be Z to the minus 1. So Z to the minus 1 times Z is 1, right? And Z to the minus 1 minus, so I got a minus Z to the minus 1, and now I have to subtract this whole thing right here, right? And so I get 0, and then I'm subtracting, so that'll be plus Z to the minus 1. Did I do that right? Right, and so you end up with, you know, and it's going to be plus z to the minus 2 and plus dot, dot, dot. And then you can pick off those coefficients, because remember the coefficients here, the thing in front of z to the minus k, are these things right here. So this the first one, u of 0, is 1. That's this one. U of 1 is the one in front of this z to the minus 1. U of 2 is the one in front of that z to the minus 2, right? And you can just keep going like this. And I think this business works if you use this kind of a thing, even if R is not. I mean, even if these things are getting bigger and bigger, right? Does that make sense? I think it still works that way. And so I think they kind of do this grain of salt business here, although I'm not an expert on the Z transforms there, but I think there's those kind of things going on. Does this kind of make sense?
Yeah.
Does this help you understand a little bit more about Z transforms? I hope it's, you know, not terribly fuzzy, but you know, you just have to play with things, otherwise you don't really understand them, right? So we played a little bit today. I would have liked to see this guy here and that guy there more similar. Or we could do the one Z of cosine, right? And you got some number of cosine and some number of sine, and we know that's what this should come out to be, right? But I'm a little bit worried about that because I see this cosine omega 0 t in there, and all I see is here 1 omega 0 t squared. This is maybe like approximately something like that, but not quite, right? So I think there's more to learn, right? Because actually this probably is only an approximation to cosine, because it was a discrete thing, right? it really isn't quite cosine. I think that's what we're seeing here. And it's because we discretized the thing, you know, it wasn't quite right on the J omega axis, whereas these guys right are on the J omega axis. The poles of this are on that, not on that unit circle, they're right on the unit circle, I'm pretty sure. And this guy is certainly outside, right? So